If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56diva.com. Lower.com, Equal Housing Lender, MLS 112-4061.
I would love to hear from you. The book is, if you, the thing that struck me about this book, and I will tell Herb when we can get him, is that I know I'm a Chicagoan, and I wonder if Curly Lambeau, who founded and played for the Green Bay Packers, is not as well known and kind of revered as the man who started and founded the Chicago Bears, George Halas. George Halas was a huge, huge influence in Curly Lambeau's life. George Halas and Newt Rockne. Curly Lambeau, whose full name is Earl Lewis Lambeau, was a something. He grew up in Green Bay. He was something of a, you know, stud football player in high school up there. He sort of flirted with college and wound up for a while at Notre Dame, where he came under the influence of the coach of Notre Dame, a notable character named Newt Rockne. I'm looking at Herb's email, and I mean, he's got it on Facebook, man. He's looking at it. Herb, where are you? I know it's beautiful up in Door County, but I'm going to read some from the book then. How about that? I will read some stuff from the book. His research is truly astonishing, and I can't wait to talk to him, frankly. Wait, here's a message. What does this say? That's Candace Jordan thanking me profusely for her. I wonder if Candace knows anything about Curly Lambeau. I'm sure if I called her and said, hey, can't you go? Oh, yeah, I used to. I think we have Herb on the phone. He is. Herb, are you there?
I am, absolutely.
Herb, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry if I screwed this up somehow. I thought it was, you know me, at you know, 5 o'clock, who knows.
I thought you told me 5:45, and my phone is not, I don't know, it isn't ringing, but yes, I am here.
Here you are, and you'll be on until 5:45. This is a remarkable book. Herb was one of the brightest bylines in the Sun-Times before he decided to get out of this crazy business, and you spend time. I want to talk a little bit about you and your wife and spending time. For many years, you've been going up and vacationing in Door County, yes?
Yes, absolutely. We love it up here. And I know you did a piece. Norbert Bly was up here for many years, a great writer and a friend of our common friend, Mike Royko.
Yeah.
But yeah, we love it up here.
Well, and obviously it has been, we'll talk later about the book you're working on now, but I have to believe, was this book, Lambeau, was it inspired by being a few miles north of Green Bay, or how did what's the seed of this book, Herb?
You know, Rick, it's funny. I mean, I didn't know anything about Lambeau, and we would be hiking in the woods, and I would hear these people go, Lambeau, Lambeau, and then, you know, the golden retriever would respond, and I'd talk to these people, and I'd say, what do you know about this guy? And they'd say, well, he started the team, and he won a lot of games.
Yeah.
And so I started looking into it, and then I found out that he lived here in his retirement years,
yeah.
And he also vacationed here, he was, you know, I ended up interviewing people who he helped out coaching the high school team here after.
I know, that's stunning. And he was, and from what I've read from your book, I know more about him now than I think I know about George Halas. He was a terrific high school football player, but did indeed end up his entire life, frankly, in Door County coaching, I can't even imagine. Or what do you think those kids at the high school felt about having Curly Lambeau as their coach?
Well, I can tell you this. There's one guy that I mean, they were kind of in awe. You know, I just saw Dave Hubbard, who was the quarterback on the team, and he said, yeah, Curly would bring three or four of us over with the coach. We'd sit around his table, and he'd draw up the plays. And actually, the coach was a very young guy. In order to get the high school job, he had to take a coaching job. Patrick Spielman became a prolific shop teacher. He wrote 80 how-to books.
Wow.
On building things, you know, with your jigsaw. And yet wasn't into football. And so Curly ended up, he saw the team, they were terrible. They hadn't won a game in 3 years. And Curly was yelling at him at the game and came down and said, listen, let me help you. And one thing led to another, and so Curly was helping very briefly. And I have talked to several of the guys. This is in the book.
Yeah.
Dave Hubbard, who was the quarterback, and then I just saw Wayne Voigt. These guys are all in their 80s now.
Right, right, right.
But they have these memories. You know, like Wayne still has trouble convincing people that he was coached by Curly. And you know, the funny part about it is that Curly wanted the kids to be taken out of school in order to practice more, and the principal did not like that, and so he told the young coach Spielman that he had to tell Curly he was out.
Oh my God.
Curly was let go. In effect, he was. If you count the Packers, you know, that's the other thing that's amazing, Rick, is that Curly coached the Packers for 30 years.
Yep.
But at the end of his run, he wore out his welcome.
Well, the thing I learned from your book is even after that, he went to the Chicago Cardinals and lost his job there. And it just, I got to tell you, Herb, I mean, when I first got it, when you kindly sent me the book, I started it and it just... wonderful writing, but I kept saying to myself, 630 pages, and I frankly couldn't stop reading. The title of the book is Lambeau, The Epic Life of Earl Lewis Curly Lambeau, the man who invented the Green Bay Packers. The author is Herb Gould. We'll take a little break, and we'll come back and talk about the incredible influence that two guys... tell me I'm wrong, Herb, or wait and tell me after the commercial that the two guys who most profoundly influenced Lambeau were George Halas and Newt Rockne. Herb Gould, one of the great writers in the history of this great writer's town. Here is something he writes in the book, and his book is Lambeau. He writes, Lambeau was a lot of different things. In his prime, no one... not even George Halas had Lambeau's gift for spotting and developing players. When it came to public relations, to spreading the word about the fledgling NFL, Halas was skilled and dedicated, but Lambeau had a gift. Reporters sought him out in a way that made him the NFL's most visible ambassador. Herb Gould, fame fades. We know that, especially as newspaper guys who've covered a lot of things. How do you explain the fading of Lambeau's renown?
Well, you know, Rick, I think, first of all, he left Green Bay in 1949.
Yeah.
And the last 5 years in Green Bay didn't go all that well. He won his last title in 44. It was, and also the NFL wasn't what it is today. The NFL really became huge in the 50s, especially the late 50s, with television, you know, making it the most popular sport. It wasn't that big of a deal. Also, he burned bridges in Green Bay. He alienated some of the closest advisors and backers he had. You know, he spent a lot of money, and Green Bay as a public team didn't have the money to use. They, you know, so it was a combination of deals. I mean, he was run out of town, basically.
Right, right.
He also had this flamboyant lifestyle. He was married and divorced three times.
Mm-hmm.
That did not play well in Green Bay. And then, you know, but most importantly, I think the league really took off after his time.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that was a huge, huge part of it, I believe.
Talk about the influence. Halas and Rockne were very, you know, in a sense, was, there's so much in this book, Herb, that I did not know about Curly Lambeau, and indeed about the early days of the NFL. I found portions of that beyond fascinating. Curly Lambeau is responsible. You know, you look at, in a sense, Tom Brady owes his money and his fame to Curly Lambeau, who really was a pioneering passing aficionado, wasn't he?
Yes, he sure was. You know, there's a great story about how he, in the, I think the first season of the Packers, he took him up to a little Upper Peninsula, Michigan town called Ishpeming,
uh-huh.
And he said that he ran three straight plays where his players, where a player suffered a broken bone, so he decided not to run anymore because it was just hazardous to the health, and he said that was when he got this idea to pass. Now, you know, so then he passed for 1,000 yards in a time when the Bears threw for 83. I mean, nobody really passed in the 20s.
Exactly.
And this, yeah, the statistics are so unreliable that, you know, Neff and Cohen, who are the guys, said 1,000 yards, but you never really knew because they didn't really have great statistics. But he did throw the ball before anybody else.
You write in the book, too, that you found him an irresistible subject. When you first decided, because people had named their golden retrievers Lambeau and they were screaming his name in the woods, to work on this book, you could not have imagined a 650-page book when you started, could you?
No, you know, that's a great point, Rick. I think that what happened was, you know, if you want to write an in-depth biography, and I know you've read many, and I know I have,
sure,
a really good biography has to give you, you know, a flavor of the times and
yep.
a context
yep.
of what's going on in the world, and so that was what I was trying to do. You know, that's how it got to be such an epic thing. The other thing I think is that, by all accounts, Curly was, you know, a consummate liar. I mean, there was one quote from one of the Green Bay Press Gazette writers, Lee Remmel, who was a guy that I knew. He, in his later years, he did the publicity for the Packers. And there's a quote from him where he said, Curly was just a consummate liar. He would lie to your face, and he was so good at it that you enjoyed it. You know, the point is, there wasn't a lot written about the guy. There wasn't a definitive biography,
yeah.
because you couldn't know what was real and what wasn't. And there's many points in the book where I just say, this is what I think happened, and this is what makes no sense. But we really just don't know because, you know, when he got fired from the Redskins, he came out of the hotel bar and got in a dispute with the Redskin owner, and they came to blows, although nobody landed anything. But then he denied that he was drinking in the bar. You know, this was not a characteristic. So I think that was the other thing, Rick. There was so much about him that wasn't really known, and to this day is difficult to know because it was, you know, separating the, you know, the fact
sure.
And the myth are tricky.
But I think, you know, with someone with a personality this large, you know, myths become part of the personality. I think you do a remarkably honest job of admitting when you're not sure and give it your, in some cases, your best guess at this. Were you, Herb Gould, you must have known something about the early days of the of professional football, those sections really intrigued me. I had no idea, and it was all a kind of, you know, the Decatur these, and it was really a small town effort at first, wasn't it?
Yeah, it absolutely was. And, you know, that's the other thing is that George Halas was probably a close second in telling stories that didn't hold up under the harsh light of day. I mean, he was a great mythology expert.
Sure.
About how he almost lost the Bears. And then a banker that he'd called everybody he could think of to borrow money. And then, lo and behold, a banker that he'd forgotten to call. I mean, George Halas would not have forgotten to call a banker.
Yeah, no kidding.
Ask for money. But at any rate, you know, they're, at this point, they're fun stories. And like you said, you don't know, you know, it was such a hand-to-mouth existence in those days. And there was a movie with George Clooney, Leatherheads.
Sure.
Just scratch the surface. You know, it wasn't really what I'd call a great film, but it was, you know, I even read that Johnny Blood is the character that Clooney's character was based on. And, you know, those. That's the other thing, is the guys that played for Curly, Johnny Blood, I think people may know that name.
Sure.
But he was a multifaceted character, and I've got, you know, a mini biography of him in there. Don Hudson, who
is a great player.
Today is probably, yeah, I mean, he's one of the, if you've made an all-time NFL team, he's still one of the receivers along with Jerry Rice.
Mm-hmm.
So there were so many things, and what could I leave out? You know, I had one publisher that I queried, and a really good publisher, and they asked, how long is it? And I told them, and they said, well, you need to cut it in half.
In half,
Before they even looked at it.
Lord.
And I just decided, I don't want to do that.
I'm glad you didn't. That's what they told. Bill Curtis is just out with his part one of his autobiography, and that's what his publisher said when he got the full 800 pages. Said, it's too long. We're going to cut it in half, and you can do it twice. I have a few more minutes with Herb Gould, a former colleague of mine, about his book, Lambeau, which is a fascinating and detailed look at one of the most fascinating people in the history of American sports, Dan Pompey, who used to be a colleague of ours, too, who now writes for The Atlantic. For The Athletic, says Curly Lambeau is a combination of Paul Brown, Mike Ditka, and Bill Belichick. He left a massive imprint on the NFL that remains today. There is so much we never knew about him. Thanks to Herb Gould, all that changes now. No kidding. Did you, the research for this, I'm flabbergasted, Herb, and in awe of the research that was involved in this book, not just, you know, plowing through old newspapers, but talking to people who might have known Curly Lambeau. Was it enjoyable for you?
Oh, gosh, yes. I finally had to tell myself it was time to stop. But, yeah, I had a blast, you know, and I would get getting wider and wider, you know. Don Hudson's teammate at Alabama was the famous Bear Bryant. They were the
sure.
two ends on the Alabama. So I start reading Bear Bryant biographies just to see, you know, if anything would pop up. And sure enough, there was an anecdote that Bryant told Scott Hunter, who had played at Alabama and then played for the Packers, about Bear said, you know, he was up in Green Bay visiting Hudson, and Curly gave him a ride down to Chicago, and they got stopped for speeding, and Curly almost came to blows with the cop.
What a character.
I didn't recognize him as the legendary coach.
And it kept
going farther and farther afield, all the Newt Rockne stuff, because I think Curly really admired Newt Rockne greatly. He was only there for 3 or 4 months during the football season.
Yeah.
I don't know that
he
didn't crack a book. I mean, he really wasn't there long. It was the short season because of the pandemic and World War I. But I think that Curly saw what Rockne was all about, and certainly followed Rockne's path after he left. And I think he really wanted to make Green Bay into the Notre Dame of the NFL.
Yeah,
and I think he succeeded. You know, I don't know that Rockne cared much about Curly, but Curly clearly admired.
No question.
The great Rock.
No question. I'm overwhelmed because when you know someone as a newspaper writer, you're used to reading him or her at a certain length, and it is certainly not a 650 page length. I think was it difficult to write this book, Herb?
You know, that's interesting, Rick, because I think one of my joys in retirement is writing without, you know, the deadline time or idiot editors.
Yeah. Sometimes.
Or editors. Yeah. I mean, I can just go and I would get, I still do that. I'm working on another book now and I get up in the morning and, I love to get, it's sort of weird, an opposite, you know, retirement. I used to sleep in because I was working late covering ball games.
Sure.
For the Sun Times. And now I get up early and I pour over newspapers.com. Looking, you know, you just never know. You know, you're curious. I'm sure you would love
sure.
to do, and maybe you've done it at times. You know, you look at one thing, and it, you know, you got a 1928 newspaper, and then you go, oh, what about this? And you start hunting and poking around, and then one thing leads to another, and then all of a sudden you find something. I mean, it really is like prospecting in a lot of ways.
Yeah. Well, I could not be more impressed. I'm so impressed that I'm going to write about this book, too, which... We'll see what the goofy editors at the Chicago Tribune have to say about that. But I'm really taken with this book, and I cannot congratulate you more heartily. The book is Lambeau, The Epic Life of Earl Lewis Curly Lambeau, the man who invented the Green Bay Packers. Herb, are you living up there full-time now?
Yeah, we are up here. Well, we're up here full-time in the warm months, and then we go down to Tucson, Arizona, which has internet, so I can still get up early and do all my little fact finding.
I want your life, Herb. Congratulations. I can't wait for the next one. It's about baseball. You found a territory, a gold mine of stories up there too. I'm thrilled for you, pal. I'm thrilled for you.
Yeah. Take, oh, great. Yeah.
Take care of yourself. We will talk.